Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Was Joseph Smith a humble man? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past couple shows, we've been going through an article that was written by Dr. Daniel Peterson. He is not only a professor at Brigham Young University, a professor of Arabic studies, but he's also one of their probably foremost apologists, you could say. At least that's what many Mormons have told us. And he wrote this article titled, Defending the Faith, Joseph Smith Wasn't Arrogant or Boastful. He starts off his piece by citing a statement that has been attributed to Joseph Smith, where Joseph Smith, according to Daniel Peterson, only allegedly may have said, I have more to boast of than ever any man had. I am the only man that has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus ever did it. I boast that no man ever did such a work as I. The followers of Jesus ran away from him, but the Latter-day Saints never ran away from me yet.
If you listen to Daniel Peterson, those words don't mean what they sound like they mean or what they say, but rather there's more to it than meets the eye.
And that's the point he's trying to make in this article. He goes through four different reasons why you should not consider this to be what he even says could seem to be an arrogant comment lacking the humility appropriate to a prophet or even an ordinary member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Well, in today's show, we want to look at point number four.
He says, fourth, Joseph's authenticated personal statements plainly reveal him to have been a humble and sincere man, struggling to do the will of God as he understood it. And this particular statement should be placed in the context of his overall life and behavior. And he has a note here that says, see Mark McConkie's Remembering Joseph, Personal Recollections of Those Who Knew the Prophet Joseph Smith. He goes on and says, consider, for example, the following excerpt from a private letter Joseph wrote to his wife Emma in June 1832. Quote, I will try to be contented with my lot, knowing that God is my friend. In him I shall find comfort. I have given my life into his hands. I am prepared to go at his call. I desire to be with Christ. I count not my life dear to me except to do his will. End quote.
He goes on to say, these are scarcely the words of a man who believed himself better than Christ. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't it seem a little odd, Eric, that Dr. Peterson has to go clear back to 1832 to find a letter written to his wife Emma that gives the impression that he's a humble man? I can only venture to say there's probably a good reason why he didn't just move it up 10 years to, let's say, 1842 to see how his behavior was towards his wife. Because in 1842, we find a very different Joseph Smith. We find a Joseph Smith in 1842 that is now starting to marry women behind Emma's back. And he's also acting in a, what I would say to be a very boastful way and an arrogant way, because he thinks he can get away with this stuff, and he tends to get away with
right.
it. For instance, and there's one case where Emma actually goes on a riverboat to go get supplies, and while she's gone, he's marrying two sisters.
Okay, you're saying 1842. How many wives does he have in 1842?
In 1842, by August of 1842, it's estimated that he had at least 16.
Now, okay, so 16 wives. Later on, he's going to add almost 20 more. So he's going to have
about
34.
33, 34, depending on whose list you go by.
So half of those wives, does Emma know about all those women?
She may have had hints. It's kind of hard to keep something like that from a wife. But Smith actually lies to her, and this can be documented if you read Mormon Enigma, Emma Smith, Mormon Enigma.
We did a whole series on that book, a very good book.
An excellent book that shows the early years of Mormonism, at least up until the Nauvoo period, and it gives us a good picture of not only of what Emma had to go through, but what kind of a man that Joseph Smith actually was.
See, based on that book, and you can look it up on our website if you want to hear those broadcasts, I get the impression from those LDS writers that she was pretty much in the dark on almost everything. It wasn't until much later that she understands a little bit more. But I think in 1842, she was pretty much clueless of what was going on behind her back.
Well, we talked about the estimated 16 wives that Joseph Smith married up until August of 1842. The great majority of those wives had living husbands.
Emma would have had a heart attack.
Would we attribute the label of humble Christ follower to a man who is behaving like this? There's no scriptural support for that kind of behavior.
Absolutely not. And the Book of Mormon certainly would go against it. You'd have to go to Doctrine and Covenants Section 132 to help support that, but that doesn't come around for another year. So in 1842, he's marrying these women without any apparent divine mandate for him to do so.
Now, Dr. Peterson says, citing that letter from 1832 that he wrote to his wife Emma, "These are scarcely the words of a man who believed himself better than Christ, nor are these, which are taken from," and I couldn't believe it when I read this, "from the History of the Church, Volume 5, page 401. He just finished saying to his readers that you have to take the history of the church with caution. But here he is citing the history of the church. Why? Because it makes Joseph Smith look good in his eyes.
And this is based on his presuppositions. This fits in well with my point, and so therefore I'll quote that with authority, and I'm going to leave History of the Church, Volume 6, pages 408 and 409 to look like it's in doubt.
But what he does is he gives the impression that critics of Joseph Smith are the ones that are notorious for doing this, that we like to cite only the bad things about Joseph Smith and leave out the good. We actually try to be balanced in this, and unless we can find evidence to show that something in the history of the church, the seven-volume set, is not to be trusted, we let it lie. If that's what it says, we're going to go with it unless we have evidence to the contrary.
But if you're going to make your point, as he did in yesterday's show in the third point, to doubt the accuracy of it and to put it in the same article, to quote from that same resource.
I wouldn't have done it that way.
No.
Anyway, what does he say here? Because we've got some other points.
This is what Joseph Smith said, according to History of the Church, Volume 5, page 401. "I do not think there have been many good men on the earth since the days of Adam, but there was one good man, and his name was Jesus. Many persons think a prophet must be a great deal better than anyone else. I do not want you to think that I am very righteous, for I am not."
That seems like an odd statement in light of the fact that you have to be righteous in Mormonism if you hope to achieve the celestial kingdom. But I understand what he's trying to say. He's trying to make it sound that he's being a very humble person. And again, I think the inconsistency is that this is cited from the history of the church that Dr. Peterson just said that we have to approach with caution. But he wants to give the impression that Joseph Smith's life seems to be a whole record of humility. And I would say that that's not really the case. We can find other statements other than the one he cites at the beginning of his article from Volume 6, page 408 of the History of the Church. What about teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 363? Joseph Smith says this, "God made Aaron to be the mouthpiece for the children of Israel, and he will make me be God to you in his stead, and the elders to be mouth for me. And if you don't like it, you must lump it." I just have a real difficult time imagining someone like Elijah saying something like, "If you don't like it, you must lump it." But this is attributed to Joseph Smith. And this is found in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, which was compiled by Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the Mormon Church, who, as we have said, was the historian of the Church of Jesus Christ for at least 50 years. Check it out. It's page 363, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith. Then we have this statement that is found in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 368, which was also cited by Mormon apostle Neil Maxwell in a talk that he gave, I should say in a conference talk that he gave, and it's cited in the Ensign Magazine, November 2003, page 100. It was a talk he gave titled, How Choice a Seer. Listen to this. When did I ever teach anything wrong from this stand? When was I ever confounded? I want to triumph in Israel before I depart hence and am seen no more. I never told you I was perfect, but there is no error in the revelations which I have taught.
One of the things that I notice in these quotes is I is used an awful lot. And I know some have made the accusation, and that's a whole different show, about Joseph Smith being an egomaniac. But in many ways, I mean, a lot of these things that he says, especially in the last couple of years, seems to be self-centered rather than Christ-centered. I mean, when I see Paul, yes, 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, as we talked about, he's making a point, but it always seemed that Paul was trying to bring the glory back to God. I don't see that in these quotes.
It does seem a little bit difficult to draw the conclusion, I think, that Dr. Peterson wants us to draw when we look at Joseph Smith's life as a whole. Now, again, he likes to go back to 1832 and pick out that letter to Emma. Maybe it was a different Joseph Smith back in 1832, but it doesn't matter, because if he really was like this towards the end of his life, then the context seems to fit. He doesn't seem to come across as the humble man as some Mormon apologists, including Dr. Peterson, want us to believe. Let me cite one more here. This is Joseph Smith being quoted in The Times and Season, Volume 4, page 375. Now, The Times and Seasons was a Mormon periodical, and this is what Joseph Smith is cited as saying in that piece. I combat the errors of the ages. I meet the violence of mobs. I cope with illegal proceedings from executive authority. I cut the Gordian knot of powers, and I solve mathematical problems of universities with truth, and I should say with truth is all in capital letters, diamond truth, and God is my right-hand man.
And he didn't even have a college degree to be able to do that.
No, but boy, I tell you, you were just mentioning how many times the word I is there. Look at this. I combat the errors of the ages. I meet the violence of mobs. I cope with illegal proceedings from executive authority. I cut the Gordian knot of powers, and I solve mathematical problems of universities.
If I use the word I so often in such a short paragraph, please stop me, Bill, and get my eyes centered on Jesus rather than on myself.
I think what you can probably gather from this series is, even though some Mormons would like to view their prophet as being a humble man, the evidence seems to speak otherwise.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic of interest among many Bible-believing Christians who want to reach their LDS loved ones or friends with the biblical message of hope and grace. If you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the beliefs of the Mormon people, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be a resource for you. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to clearly articulate Mormon doctrine and history in order to better understand the issues that separate Mormonism from the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have links to an active blog site, as well as dozens of articles and videos that will help educate you on this fascinating topic. Should your church need a live presentation, we can do that too. Contact MRM to schedule one of our PowerPoint presentations at MRM.org or call our office at 801-572-2153. That's 801-572-2153. Let MRM help you become a confident ambassador for Christ.